If you want to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke 10:38. While you're turning there, I want to talk tonight about the simple topic, but probably the most important topic of spending time with Jesus. And I have a dream for my heart, for my life, for my family, and for our community. That the dream is this. The dream is that we would actually be doing better on the inside than how we portray on the outside. There's a narrative in the church that I think is really good, and there's a push in culture of saying, hey, let's get rid of masks. Let's get rid of showing up to church and just acting like everything's okay and not being vulnerable with anyone. And I really feel like there's a strong push in the church, especially in our younger generation, that's not okay with just putting our time card in, doing church, not being known by anybody. But actually this coming back to this idea that the deepest desire of every person is to be fully known and fully loved. And I think that there's a good push in that in the church now, and the push to be vulnerable with others and to say, hey, I'm not doing all right. Hey, there's stuff going on inside of me. But I think that the one fallacy with this narrative that we see in the church so often is this underlying belief that everybody is actually doing worse than what they show on the outside. And I believe that when the Lord said that he came to give us life and life abundantly, I believe that he actually meant when he said that we would have rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts. And it's my dream that when somebody asks and says, hey, how are you doing? And we just say, oh, we're good. That still may be the same answer. It still may be a shallow answer, but we're not hiding discouragement, and we're not hiding shame, and we're not hiding behind that answer. We actually are just answering good because we cannot articulate how good it is to be friends with God. That we have rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts because we are friends with God. And we have developed a deep, thriving, flourishing place of friendship in our hearts with God, where we feast with him every day. Paul says that we feast inwardly, even though outwardly we're wasting away. And I say all of this not saying like, man, I have this dream that we'll never experience hardship, or we'll never walk through grief, or we'll never walk through disappointment. That's not true at all. What I'm saying is that being fully alive and thriving on the inside, flourishing and feasting on the love of God daily, is not in opposition to walking through hardship. And it's not in opposition to walking through disappointment. And it's not in opposition either of being vulnerable with other people and walking through seasons of hardship. But I truly believe that everything that we need to be satisfied from the inside out can be found in friendship, in relationship with God, with our Father. And I dream of, like, you know, we post our best on Instagram and somebody looks at our lives and be like, man, they have it all together. And we can answer like, man, sometimes outwardly we have it all together. Sometimes it's chaos. But none of that I post comes close to this resting place that I've built with the Lord in my heart. This true life that I have inside. I believe that's the Lord's heart for each of us. I'm not there yet. And I believe the Lord is building us towards there, to daily be fed by the Lord, to daily feast on his love for us. Luke 10:38. We're going to talk about spending time with Jesus. This is a common passage. We're going to not stay here super long, but most of you probably know this story. It says, now, as they were on their way, the disciples, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And, you know, you could teach a whole message or a whole series about how Martha was giving in to the expectations. She was feeling the pressure of what people wanted from her and what society told her was normal, and how working for God is good, but being with God is better. But really, I just want to look at just that last phrase of one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What if that was our first thought every morning? What if we woke up every morning and thought, I have an endless list of things to do, but only one thing is necessary. And it is my portion. And it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Every morning we wake up, immediately the line of work flashes into our minds, the things we have to do for our kids, the homework that we forgot to do last night or we procrastinated till this morning. And the truth settles into our minds. We have all of these things, but only one thing is required. One thing is necessary. And it is to be with Jesus. And this is not fully a New Year's message, but if I'm going to say anything tonight, is that if we truly want to be thriving from the inside out, the most important thing we can do in 2024 is looking at it, is to spend time, not just a couple moments each day, spend our time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Spend our time. There's so many good New Year's resolutions out there and self-improvement ones and things that I really think the Lord loves, but there is no more important objective in this next year to every day wake up and say only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary of me today. Out of all my roles, out of all my obligations, out of all my things that I have to do, and even assignments that the Lord has given me. Being a parent is a good thing. Being a spouse is a good thing. Being a son, being a worker is a good thing. But only one thing is necessary that tops the rest, and it's sitting at his feet. Everything else is worth giving up for it. Sacrificing sleep is worth it. Sacrificing entertainment is worth it. The Lord longs to be with you more than we could ever long to be with him. Sacrificing everything is worth it. And being with him is more important than anything. It is more important than work. It is more important than our kids. It is more important than our spouse. It is more important than the house. It is more important than running errands. It is more important than the things that God has given us, which are great things. But if we prioritize sitting at his feet above everything else, man, the Lord will give us the rest of those things. It's the same kingdom concept as tithing. If we give the Lord our first 10% of our income, he'll do more with the 90% than we could ever do with 100%. Probably heard that in church before. The same is true of our time. If we prioritize sitting at the feet of Jesus, it actually is the place that we receive the grace to do all that he has called us to do. Spending time with him is the place that we receive the wisdom, the empowerment, the motivation, the desire, and the wisdom of God to parent our kids, to take care of work, to lead others, to take care of the home. It is more important than anything else. Martin Luther once said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer just to get it all done. And so I want to look at, man, there's probably a lot more than this, but I want to look at three ingredients to meeting with God. Three ingredients to meeting with God. All right, and this is probably, I'm going to get really practical from here. So if you want to take notes, this is a good spot to take notes. Three ingredients, probably not the three you're thinking of. Number one is faith. Second is scripture. And third is our imagination. Faith, scripture, and our imagination. Three ingredients to meeting daily with God. Number one, faith, coming to God, setting aside the time, and coming to God in faith. At a very foundational level, it is impossible to spend time with God if you don't believe that he exists? God can spend time with you if you don't think he exists, but you can't spend time with him. And it's from faith that all desire to be with him comes from. If we have faith, we have desire to be with him. If we believe that he is a good father, that we actually are going to meet with God, the King of Kings, there is desire that is built in our hearts. Our faith is like, it's the engine. It's the life of the connection that we have with the Lord. And it opens up our hearts to receive from him. Walking into our time with him in faith that we are actually going to meet with God. And we're not just going to read and we're not just going to pray, but we are going to have an experience with God, whether we feel it or not. This is the foundation of meeting with God. I grew up in church for over 30 years, and I've heard probably 10,000 messages on how important it is to meet with God. And I've probably over 1,000 times woken up early in the morning, read my Bible, and prayed, and yet did not meet with God. Because I did not come in with faith that I actually was going to encounter the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I did the things, I put my time card in, and pulled it out. But what enables us to actually connect our hearts with the Lord is coming in faith in that I am actually meeting with God. That when I sit down, he is here, he is in front of me, he wants to speak to my heart. He wants me to speak to his heart. He wants to fully see me and fully know me, and he wants me to see him and know him as well. And so coming to God in faith, not only does it open up our hearts, but it blesses the Lord. Every day coming in and seeing Jesus as daily bread so that our spirits can feast on his bread, feast on his wine, and be fully satisfied. Something huge to put our faith in, and I'm still putting my faith in it, that I really think delivers us from every other idol and every other desire, is truly putting our faith in the belief that in Jesus, every desire can be satisfied. That I will be more satisfied by spending time with the Lord than by going to entertainment. I will be more satisfied by him. So coming in with faith to meeting with God. Second one is scripture. Scripture is absolutely the anchor point and the boundary lines for meeting with God. It is the primary way that God speaks to us. It's the primary way that God reveals himself to us. And while it's important to have like a literal Bible with you, super important, it's even more important to actually have that scripture in you, to know scriptures. Because what scripture is it's truth. You can replace scripture here with truth, but scripture is truth. God will never speak to you something in prayer that contradicts the scriptures. And so this is the foundation for, especially as we're talking about coming in faith and as we're going to talk about using our imaginations to meet with God. Those can go real crazy if we do not have the foundation of scripture. If we do not have the foundation of truth. How can we have faith if we don't have any truth? We will not have any substance to our faith if we have no truth. And so we come in with faith on the foundation of scripture. And number three is our imaginations. And this may sound a little bit crazy, but I want to propose tonight that God gave us our imaginations to be our meeting place with him. And I'm really becoming convinced more and more that our imaginations are actually a gate between the physical and the spiritual world that we can meet with God. It's also the place that the enemy loves to attack. But when it's aligned with scripture and when it's guarded and we've fought for wholeness and we've fought for purity, it is our meeting place with the Lord where we meet with God, where he speaks to us and where we connect back with him. When we empower our imaginations with faith coming in that we can actually experience God in this space and the truth foundation of scripture, it's there that we actually are opening the eyes of our hearts to see God. We use a lot of different language when we're talking about the prophetic, or we see a picture, or we see a vision, or the eyes of our hearts are opened, or we just sense God. All of these spaces are happening in the space of our imagination. God does not speak. When he speaks to us, he doesn't speak to our minds. He speaks into our spirits, and we register it in our imaginations. in our imaginations are truly the greatest battleground, where the enemy loves to plant thoughts and pictures and leadings, and God loves to meet us there. It is the space that God has given us to meet with him. I'll explain some more, but in the 1400s, there was a peasant teenager. Her name was Joan of Arc. Probably heard of her, but what you probably don't know is that the reason that she's a saint is because God gave her visions and pictures of military strategy for the French to defeat the English in the Hundred Year War. So the English were invading and the French were defending themselves. And God would give this peasant teenager who was 17 years old visions of how to win these battles. And so they win these battles and she's a war hero. Well, 2 years later, she's captured by the British. And before she's burned at the stake for being a heretic, her inquisitor says to her, "You say that God speaks to you, but it's only in your imagination." And Joan of Arc responded and said, "How else would God speak to me if not through my imagination?" And 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in front of the stage. I was right here, and we got done with worship, and Jeff had given an altar call, and the band was still playing, and I abandoned whoever I was leading with. I don't know who that was. That Taylor? Sorry, Taylor. But I had been anxious that week. I had been fearful that week. And so I just was like, all right, I'm just going to get down in front of the altar. So I came down here and I just sat and I didn't feel anything. I felt nothing for a while. And then I just shut my eyes and I just said, "Lord, what are you doing right now? Like, what do you want to say to me?" And I put faith to my imagination. And in my mind's eye, in the eyes of my heart, I saw the Lord like right here where I'm sitting. And I saw him with me down here on the ground. I saw him kneel down to me. And I felt just the embrace of the Lord in a way that I don't know if I've ever felt before. And it was in an instant that that fear, that anxiety, my mind had been racing, it disappeared in an instant. And I just remember sitting here, and I literally, like, in my mind's eye, like, I could feel the what his robes felt like, as I got so close. And I just sat there thinking, like, oh, my gosh, I never realized how rarely I get this close, and how scared I am sometimes to get this close to the Lord. And yet it was he who knelt down and he embraced me. And I just remember sitting here and I looked over and Bailey and Ollie were running around. Well, she wasn't running around. He was running around over here. And I just remember thinking, like, I could die right now. I am completely content. It was in that instant. But that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have allowed God to encounter me in the space of my imagination. If I wouldn't have invited the Holy Spirit to come and say, "Lord, like, what are you doing right now? How are you seeing me right now?" And because I engaged my faith there in that moment, it opened up my heart to this encounter with the Lord that then had effects on my mind. I'm sure it had effects on the chemicals in my brain. It had effects on my emotions. It had effects on on everything. And it was because I met the Lord in the space of my imagination. So how do we engage our faith and use our imaginations to meet with God on the foundation of Scripture? Number one, come into our time with God expecting to encounter him. Don't let your heart slide into the, well, this is what I do in the morning, or this is what I do before I go to bed. I read Scripture, and I go through a prayer list. Like, man, those are great. The Lord honors those things. But come in with the expectation that you are going to meet with God. Come in faith as well that God is waiting to meet with you, that the bridegroom is saying to you, "Come away with me. Come be with me. Come spend time with me," that he is not afraid of how you feel or your mess or what you're going through. Or, man, the enemy loves to make us feel terrible about, like, anytime we feel negative. Like, if you're experiencing grief, the enemy loves to make you feel bad about that and feel like you can't enter in and be with the Lord. But the Lord looks at us and says, "Come away with me." So come in faith, expecting God to love you and to encounter him. Secondly, use your imagination on the foundation of Scripture to see the Lord. And so as you sit down and you enter into time with him, ask the Lord, say, "Lord, where are you right now? Where are you right now? Is he sitting next to you? Is he sitting in front of you?" There's been a couple times I've been driving in my car and I've asked the Lord this, and I've seen him sitting in the passenger side of my truck, and he has his hand on my heart and he's praying for me. Lord, where are you right now as I'm sitting with you? What are you doing? And how are you looking at me? And just use your imagination without overthinking of, Lord, how are you looking at me? And as you have times of intercession and you're praying for others, ask the Holy Spirit to quicken your imagination with his ideas of how to pray. Like, instead of just praying, Lord, would you encounter this family member? Would they come to know you? And I know that we've gotten some really cool tools from Praying Effectively for the Lost, and go through those. But also, like, Lord, what would it look like for this family member to encounter you? And just picture, like, ideas that pop in your head. Like, imagine if Jesus appeared to them in a dream and they called you. And just let your imagination run with, oh my gosh, Jesus encounters them in a dream and they call me. Like, what would I say? And what would I tell them about the Lord? And how would I lead them to the Lord in that moment? And just begin to pray, like, Lord, would you encounter them in a dream? Would they call me? And allow just your imagination to spur faith in you as you're praying for others. The way that I'm wired is I love seeing the Lord receive glory and honor. And I'm growing in having compassion for the lost. Simply meaning that I just feel a lot more when people are worshiping the Lord rather than feeling a lot more like as I'm praying for others to come to know him, if that makes sense. It's just the way that I'm wired right now. Not to say I don't weep over family members, which I have in prayer and friends, but naturally, I love to see the Lord receive glory. And so one thing I love to do in my imagination is I love to, as we're praying for others, we'll do this during prayer sets sometimes, as we're praying for others, I'll just picture being before the throne and worshiping the Lord and casting my crown before him and just seeing Jesus receiving honor and glory, and then turning and looking to my left and seeing my college roommates right there with me and seeing the looks on their faces that right now they aren't following him, but seeing them as saved, as redeemed, and as ones that are worshiping the Lord right alongside me. And I look to my right and I see family members that aren't following the Lord, and I see them adoring the Lord. And all of a sudden, my heart is quickened, my faith is quickened to not only to to pray for them, but to pray, Lord, would they join me in heaven in worshiping you? Would they see your beauty, Lord? Would they see how worthy you are? And would they cast their crowns before you? And it allows me to pray from a place of faith rather than a place of begging the Lord for something. And so using our imaginations is, man, it's just been so powerful for me to put faith and scripture and encountering God and not just keeping our times with the Lord all up in our heads. And I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing in my heart and in our hearts to really building resting places for him in our hearts where we really are thriving from the inside out. And so, Carly, if you want to come up here and just play some keys behind this, I want to take the last 15 minutes and do some practice of just spending time with the Lord. I do some variation of this just about every day. And I walk through in my mind, in my heart, I walk through dependency, thanksgiving, and intercession. Dependency, thanksgiving, and intercession. And we're not going to get to scripture tonight. I was thinking about talking on that, but I want to give it the time that it's due, but I just want to talk about prayer tonight. And so in the place of prayer, I typically walk through, when I'm with the Lord, a place of dependency and recognizing my dependence on God. I walk then into thanksgiving and into intercession. And so right now, just as we start in this place of dependency, if you're sitting right now, I think everybody's sitting. Okay. Just get comfortable, and just like we did a little bit earlier, but our goal right now in this prayer practice called Window of the Soul is to become fully present to God, who is fully present to us right now. So, yeah, Carly, when you're ready, you can go ahead and play. Typically, I like doing this in silence, but with kids running around, I think music is good. So just as we, Lord, we become aware of your presence right now. We become aware that we only exist because you wanted us. Lord, we only exist because you dreamed of us before time began. And you created us on purpose, Lord. And any love, anything that we have to give you, Lord, time, money, affection, everything that we have to give you, it came from you in the first place, Lord. I have nothing to give you that I haven't received from you in the first place. And so just with me, let's take a deep breath and hold it. And then breathe out. And take a deep breath again. And breathe out. And one more time, take a deep breath and hold it. Every breath is from him. And breathe out. And just become fully present right now. And if you have thoughts of the future or negative thoughts or negative emotions, or this feels weird, totally normal, just take those thoughts and set them to the side. The goal is just to become fully present right now. So take account of your body. Feel your fingers, your toes. What does your neck feel like? What does your back feel like? What does it feel like to sit in your seat where you're at right now? God is right here. He is fully present. He's the God of the future. He's the God of the past. And yet he meets us in the present. And just as you're aware of being present right now, do your best to find the core of who you are. It could be your stomach or your chest. But if you're looking at the deepest part of who you are, your very spirit, just focus yourself in that spot. And in that spot right now is everything of who you are. It's your highs and your successes. It's your lows, your shame, your ambition, your stress, your running thoughts. And picture that on the outside of that very center of who you are, there's double doors. And there's these double French doors that open outward. And right now they're closed. And behind them, right where you are, in the center, the core of who you are, is everything you are. And then when you're ready, just picture opening up those double doors to the Lord, to the light of God, and allowing him to see all of you. Every corner of your soul, every fear, every frailty. Every success, every win, every emotion you're feeling right now, every question. and just take a moment to be fully seen. And allow yourself to be fully loved by Him. As He walks through these French doors and sees all of you, He fully sees you and fully knows you and fully loves you. The goal is not to communicate anything. The goal is to simply be with God. And there's a depth of soul that comes. There's a depth of friendship with God that comes from simply being with Him. As we're in this place, you can always stay there as long as you want to. The goal of this time of prayer is to follow faith. And when you feel something like hit your heart and you feel faith or thanksgiving rise up, you just stay there in that spot and you press into it. And it's from this place that I love to move into thanksgiving. And the first part of thanksgiving is I feast on the gospel. I walk through the night that Jesus was crucified. But I start with, I just thank the Lord. I thank the Father. I say, Father, thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, I thank you for seeing the cross ahead of you and still saying yes. I thank you for enduring the betrayal of your best friends for me. I thank you for suffering the worst injustice that has ever been seen in the history of the world, that the very people you were dying for and giving your life for, they accused you and condemned you, and yet you still gave your life for them, which was me, Lord. That in my rebellion, that in my contempt for you, you still died as me and for me. I thank you, Jesus, for enduring the torture for me, the lashes that took flesh off of your back, the nails that went into your hands, the thorns that went into your head. I thank you for doing that for me. I thank you that as you carried your own cross, up the hill, Lord, you were carrying not just your cross, but you were carrying my burdens, that you carried my shame, Lord. Lord, you carried my guilt. You carried my failures. You carried my fears. You carried my loss, my disappointment, Lord. You carried it on your back. I thank you for dying as me and for me. And Lord, I thank you that you rose from the grave. I thank you that you and I are now unified as one, that I am the temple of the living God, that you are alive on the inside of me, that truly I can say, greater is in me right now than he that is in the world. I thank you that I have access to eternal life and full satisfaction in my heart right now, Lord, because I have friendship with you. And Lord, I thank you for the future, that you are coming again as faithful and true, Lord, that you are going to make all things right, that all grief, that all mourning, that all injustice, that all suffering will be gone, Lord, that all stress will be gone, that you will rule and reign. I thank you, Jesus, for this hope. And then I move into just more practical thanksgiving of, Lord, I thank you for breath in my lungs. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I thank you for being my friend. I thank you for my wife, Lord, somehow letting me be married to her. I thank you for my kids, somehow letting me parent them, Lord, be their dad. I thank you for our house that we got, Lord. I thank you for our neighborhood. I thank you for enough money to pay the bills. I thank you for our community, Lord. I thank you for our family. I thank you for our friends. I thank you for all that you've taught us in 2023. I thank you for this year ahead. I thank you that you're not worried about the future, Lord. I thank you that you have good things planned. I thank you for tonight, Jesus. I thank you that you show up and you meet with us. And that can go on for however long. At some point, just moving into intercession, and you can have a list of people to pray for, or just pray for things that pop into your head. But we have family members that we pray for, friends that we pray for. We pray for needs that the Lord would provide, that he would show up in certain ways, or whatever's happening in that day. And pray for 420, for our community, that the Spirit of God would be poured out, that our community would be marked by the fear of the Lord, that there would be salvations, that there would be a weight of glory in this place, and that the Lord would protect our hearts with hunger, with wholeness, and with purity of heart to love him and to seek him above all else, to seek you, Jesus, above everything else. And Lord, together tonight, we pray for our city. We ask that your Spirit would be poured out in Indianapolis, God. I thank you that if Nineveh could be saved entirely in a day, then Indianapolis could be saved entirely in a day. And so, Lord, we ask for the hearts and the souls of many in our city to come to know you, Lord, and we bless our mayor, and we ask for supernatural, divine ideas over our city. I bless church leaders. I bless pastors. I bless those that you've placed in leadership, that you would fill them with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And Lord, I thank you for meeting with us. I thank you for meeting with us, Lord. I thank you for the way that you know us and you know what we need. I thank you for the way that you satisfy our hearts, that you satisfy the deepest desires of our hearts. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The goal of of prayer time with the Lord is not to make it through any sort of list. I'm becoming more and more convinced that, man, if the Lord is authoring faith, if he's writing faith on our hearts for one thing, say if you get to, it happens to me a lot as I'm walking through the steps to the cross, but like if I get through to the place where it's like, man, Jesus was betrayed by his best friends, and I just feel it in my heart, then, man, there's no reason to move through everything else. If the Lord wants to meet me in that space, be like, Lord, what did it feel like to have your best friends leave? What did it feel like to see them run off as you were put into chains and let off? Or it could be praying for a family member and you just feel grace, you feel life on it or a situation, and stay there. But the goal of meeting with Jesus is to meet with Jesus. It's to be with him. And there's growth and there is depth and there is maturing in the core of who we are that will not happen if we do not give him time. It requires time. And the world is fast and the world is not slowing down. And in order to feast inwardly daily, we have to be okay, like Mary did, with disappointing people, with not living up to expectations, with prioritizing sitting at the feet of Jesus above everything else. Because he satisfies more than anything. He satisfies more than sleep. He satisfies more than entertainment. He satisfies more than any other relationship. And he's worth giving up everything for. But it requires our time to be loved by him and to love him in return.